You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears have to fire Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace after an embarrassing loss like that to the Green Bay Packers. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but at some point this offseason, the Bears need a new general manager and a new head coach. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Locked On Bears is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. And Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day this season, no matter how you watch. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On the show today, we'll discuss why this game should mark the beginning of the end for this Chicago Bears regime. We'll take a closer look at the defensive collapse and what went wrong on that side of the ball in Green Bay, as well as a look at this Bears offense, a few positives in the midst of a blowout, but ultimately some of the same lingering frustrations with Matt Nagy and the offensive coaching staff. Most informed, realistic Chicago Bears fans had low expectations coming into this Sunday night game, and yet somehow it feels like the Bears fell short of even those low expectations, that we knew the Bears probably weren't going to win this game. The Green Bay Packers are one of the better teams in the NFL, and the Bears still have a lot of work to do before they can start talking about the playoffs again, but I don't think we expected it to be quite that embarrassing that quickly. You know, we weren't expecting the, 27-3 deficit there at one point in the first half. We weren't expecting the all-time Aaron Rodgers performance. We weren't expecting it to quite rival the previous Packers losses of embarrassment in the past of, 55-14 and the 42-0 halftime score. I guess it wasn't quite that bad, but this game came a lot closer to that than I think we were expecting. And it was sort of a culmination of all of those factors that really are damning for Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, in a sense that everything was sort of trending negatively toward their firing, but this really sort of encapsulated everything. I mean, this was a prime time national audience performance, the oldest rivalry in the NFL. Of course, it has to be the Packers. I believe this was the Packers' 100th win of all time in the matchup between these two teams, and it was just such an embarrassing fashion, especially with Virginia Hallis McCaskey watching up in the stands or in the box at Lambeau Field. It was the culmination. I mean, it was coming off of the bye week. It was Ryan Pace's hand-picked quarterback coming off of the bench, starting again for a chance at redemption. It was the quarterback Matt Nagy was brought in to try and, I don't know if fix is the right word, but brought in to try and succeed with and failing. And then on top of that, the defense that was supposed to be their one reliable factor, the one thing Ryan Pace seemed to have built well and that Matt Nagy and his staff seemed to have been coaching well, completely falling apart in a very embarrassing factor. It was all bad, pretty much all across the roster. I guess special teams didn't do anything wrong. The Bears didn't even punt all that much. Had plenty of kickoff opportunities, but not a lot of opportunities to return the ball. But it was like everything that seemed to be able to go wrong in this game did. And any time they came close to sniffing some success outside of garbage time, they found a way to completely blow it. I mean, it was just poorly coached, poorly prepared, poorly executed all around, coming off of the bye week against this opponent on national TV in this rivalry with this quarterback and this team put together with this owner in the stands. I mean, it was just like the culmination of, yep, we're going to look back in a month or two here and say that was the game where Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy got fired. Because these two guys are sort of hitched together. They're linked, and it was sort of like they are going to get their quarterback. They're going to fix Mitch Trubisky or make Mitch Trubisky work. Then this offseason, it's like, okay, no, we're going to get our quarterback, and we're going to go all in on 2020. We're going to sign Robert Quinn. We're going to sign Jimmy Graham. We're going to get the veteran in Nick Foles. We're going to make that transition early to say, you know what, we need to be even better than the 2-0 team they had started as, and all of that failed. All of those decisions proved to be poor ones, and the other flaws on this roster and in this coaching staff and in this organization have all been exacerbated, highlighted, brought to light, floating to the surface, and it was all laid out there on national television for the country to see just how bad things have gotten with this Bears team. And I think that can be enough of an influence on this ownership and executive team in Chicago to ultimately make that change by the end of the season. Is there still time for them to save their jobs? Maybe. You know, if they won every game from here on out and finished 10-6, well, it might be a slightly different story. But I don't know that anyone sees a very clear path that way, even with the Lions, Texans, and Jaguars on the schedule. It seems like it was good. It's going to take a lot at this point to save this Bears regime. To save their jobs would require a turnaround here that I don't think we've seen in Chicago or elsewhere anytime recently in the NFL. And while it won't be all bad from here on out, it feels like slowly delaying the inevitable from this point. For me, I think the thing I was most surprised about, most confused about, even a little bit astounded at this point, was this Bears defensive performance that was really an uncharacteristic collapse against a very good Green Bay Packers team, but one that we thought we could count on week in and week out that really didn't show up from the start of the game. We'll take a closer look to try and figure out what went wrong next on Locked On Bears. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and just feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily, live, and on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. And one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's Echelon, echelonfit.com/NFL. That was as bad of a defensive performance as we've seen from the Chicago Bears in a long time. You know, even this season when they've lost now 5 in a row, the Bears haven't allowed a team to score more than 26 in a game this season, and they hadn't crossed the 30 mark in either of the 2 seasons with Chuck Pagano as defensive coordinator. I looked back, the last time the Bears allowed a team to score more than 40 was 2016 with John Fox and Vic Fangio. It was a embarrassing week 16 game against the Washington football team. That was one where the Kirk Cousins led Washington team beat Matt Barkley and the Chicago Bears in a quite a fun towards the end of the season, nothing to play for type game with the 3-12 Bears. That's kind of the level of like Bears defensive performance we were talking about against the Green Bay Packers. And it was quick from the start, and it seemed to never slow down until the Packers chose to take their foot off the gas in the second half. Like, you kind of look and it's like Aaron Rodgers only threw for 211 yards, but there were 4 touchdowns in there. Plus, you take the Bears' turnovers, giving the Packers some good field position. The Packers' running game working pretty well to whatever they wanted to do in the ground game. And Rodgers just being incredibly efficient, you know, 21 of 29, 4 touchdowns in there. I mean, as long as pass was only 39 yards, they just kind of took whatever they wanted all over from this Bears defense. And yes, again, the offensive issues always exacerbate Bears' defensive struggles. But the offense was doing okay through the first couple of drives, and the Bears' defense simply had no answers. I mean, first drive, Packers go, 14 plays for 75 yards and the touchdown to Devontae Adams. Then the Bears have their big drive and get a field goal back, right? I mean, take some time off the clock, have a big run in there, but then Packers get the ball back, drive right down, touchdown. And then you have the first Trubisky interception, but it was still in the end zone, so the Packers had to go 80 yards to score, three straight drives with touchdowns, with this Bears defense not getting particularly hamstrung by their offense up to that point. I mean, that's part of the big problem here. And give the Packers a lot of credit, right? I mean, they had a great game plan. They executed at a high level. Aaron Rodgers is just on fire this year. He's having one of the best years of his career. They put 31 points up on the Colts defense last week. We saw how good this Colts defense was just a few weeks ago. They're one of the best defenses in the NFL, perhaps even better than what the Bears have done this season. And Rodgers could put 31 on them, and they have a real offense. So, right, some of this you have to credit the opponent. But it was also uncharacteristically bad Bears defense, and you can't just put it all on Green Bay, right? Missing Akeem Hicks, obviously a big factor up front, but I don't think that excuses everything either, right? Like, it's a big influence in the run defense. John Jenkins is not an adequate replacement for Akeem Hicks. He's okay as a rotational defensive lineman, but he did not have a great game on the interior there. And when you're rolling with Bilal Nichols and John Jenkins as your top two defensive linemen, you're going to be lacking in that department. And I wanted to see a little bit more from the guys like Mario Edwards and Brent Urban that I've been very complimentary of this season. They were disappointing in this game, but I think we also forget how much benefit they get from having somebody like Akeem Hicks on the field. It's an issue. It's going to be part of the problem in run defense, not the whole problem. I think it's a little bit too simple to say missing that one guy, plus missing Eddie Goldman, but the difference between last week and this week, or last game and this game, is missing Akeem Hicks, and it was a drastic difference in the run defense, not just Akeem Hicks being the problem in run defense, not just Akeem Hicks missing being the problem in the pass rush. Sure, he would have helped to get a little bit more pressure on Rodgers up the middle, but this Bears team did not have a single sack, and that is not all on Akeem Hicks. It was an awfully quiet performance from Khalil Mack, and you can complain about the referees and the penalties all you want, but we've seen Khalil Mack have big games against the Green Bay Packers, and no one else stepped up either. It was not a pretty pass-rushing performance at all from the guys up front. A little bit of pressure early on forced some incompletions from Rodgers, but once you got into the third or fourth drives and so in the game, it was all Rodgers doing most of what he wanted. Some of that, I blame on Chuck Pagano here, too. I mean, early on, these three-man rushes that they kept going back to, dropping eight in coverage, you can't do that against Aaron Rodgers. He's just going to extend the play and wait for a guy to get open and do scramble drill. I mean, like, that's what he is best at, and three-man rush is essentially encouraging that. I mean, not that you have to blitz him every time or send the house every time. That's not the strategy either. But to essentially give up on the pass rush on those three-man rush plays is to just give him time to find an open receiver, and that was not working. What was working for the Packers was early and often targeting linebacker Danny Trevathan, slot cornerback Buster Screen, over and over and over in coverage, trying to get that stuff working over the middle of the field, because the Bears are solid on the outside with Fuller and Johnson. They're plenty good cornerbacks, but getting some of these crossing routes over the middle, the underneath drags, the Packers kept coming to the same concept. You hear Rodgers called out at the line of scrimmage when there's no fans in the stands. He said, drive, drive, drive. That's a concept where you have basically a in route about 10 yards over the middle and a drag route underneath, and you're just reading high low on the defenders, and the Bears in their zone coverages will just kind of pass those crossing routes off, and it ends up getting Danny Trevathan in man coverage against Devontae Adams, and it worked to exactly what the Packers wanted over and over again. And you didn't really see Chuck Pagano adjust all that much from a coverage standpoint. His big thing has been, you know, trusting his guys and letting them play and letting them try and win one-on-one matchups, and that was just not going to work against Aaron Rodgers and these Packers receivers. And then on top of that, you add the missed tackles over and over from this Bears defense, to the point where Tony Dungy talked about them seeming like they quit in this game was the words he used. Matt Nagy disagreed with that in his post-game press conference, but you can't blame the missed tackles on playing a good Packers team. You can't blame the missed tackles on playing a good game plan or missing Akeem Hicks or even Chuck Pagano's play calling. This is just a Bears defense that struggled in a way that we just do not typically see them struggle. It's not the kind of thing that I think is going to keep happening, but it really just piled on an already challenging performance and adds to more of the rationale and firepower to move on from a head coach like Matt Nagy and a general manager like Ryan Pace. Let's be clear, though. The main reason those two should be fired is because of the offense and everything they've put into that side of the ball and everything we keep seeing from that group week in and week out. We'll evaluate Mitch Trubisky's performance as well as a return of the running game, some improved offensive line play, and some similar familiar frustrations with Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy next on Locked On Bears. If you missed out on the great Black Friday deal from our friends at Built Bar, don't worry. We can still help you get a discount on the best tasting protein bars ever. And I don't say that lightly. I've tried them. I continue to order more and more. I spend my own money on Built Bars because they taste just like candy bars, but they have all the macronutrients of protein bars. Like for me, the caramel brownie flavor tastes like a Milky Way, and cookies and cream is a chocolate-covered marshmallow, but you can't go wrong with any of their 18 flavors because you're going to get 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 130 calories. I'm telling you, it's legit. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. I'm a little bit conflicted about how to describe the quarterback performance of Mitch Trubisky against the Green Bay Packers, in part because a lot of it was in garbage time already, and in part because the quarterback play had been so bad in Chicago leading up to this game, especially the last 3 or 4 from Nick Foles had really just been incapable of consistently moving the ball, and we did actually see the Bears offense move the ball. But at the same time, you saw 2 really bad decision interceptions from Mitch Trubisky, a number of other poor decisions and poor throws in the game, some nice throws as well, and kept the offense going a little bit. Like for me, it was a very typical Mitch Trubisky. It was the same Mitch Trubisky that we had seen in 2019. Right? It's the same Mitch Trubisky we've known all along, which is not a consistent starting caliber NFL quarterback, but it was better than I was used to the last few weeks in this offense. And that's why I come back just like a little bit confused about it, you know, or just a little bit hesitant to like completely trash his performance. Because again, it was not great, but it was not as terrible as we've seen. I mean, the big difference is like the turnovers, right? Foles was doing a little bit of a better job of not giving those passes away. I mean, over his, 8 games or so, we've seen, I think, 8 interceptions, and we haven't seen him have he hasn't had 3 turnovers in a game the way Trubisky did with his 2 picks and the fumble that was brought back for a touchdown. But, like, is it progress if they were getting some yards and some offensive touchdowns that we were struggling to see with Nick Foles? I mean, I guess. You still don't want to have, you know, the missed ball placement, some throws just inaccurate, some poor reads, and some of those really bad decisions. I guess same old Mitch is just a little bit better than the last few games of Nick Foles, but not as good as some of what we had seen from Nick Foles earlier in this season. So I don't know exactly where that leaves you at the quarterback spot other than still stuck and not really anywhere different than you thought you were 3 weeks ago. Like any hope that Trubisky was going to have used his benching and this comeback trail as to have turned a corner in some way, shape, or form, I think it was perhaps a little bit naive to expect anything too drastically different. Quarterbacks don't just change in the middle of their 4th season necessarily. And to his credit, he started out the game pretty well before that first interception. And even in the 4th quarter, he did some things that were, you know, encouraging Mitch that we've seen before. But to his credit, or maybe to the Bears' credit, the offensive line was generally better. You know, he was still under pressure sometimes, and pass protection was not amazing, but he had some time to throw. He was able to get a lot of plays off. He didn't have to use his scrambling all that much. In fact, they would have maybe wanted to see him scramble a little bit more, but I understand him wanting to try and stay in the pocket. I think that the Packers came away with 3 sacks in the game. You can generally speaking, live with that, although they kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit, so maybe it wasn't a completely full picture of this offensive line, but I do think it was better than what we had seen for Nick Foles the last couple of games. So maybe it's not quite fair to do a one-to-one comparison between Trubisky's performance and what we had seen from Foles in the past, because also you had the start of a really good running game. Second play of the game, David Montgomery runs for 57 yards. It was his career-long run, I believe, certainly the longest run of the season with 57. I mean, just plowed through a wide-open hole. That was a weird. The Packers were out of position on defense, and I don't know what Christian Kirksey, their linebacker, was doing, but basically, like, pre-snap, it was lined up for David Montgomery to just run in the hole. It wasn't even, like, phenomenal run blocking. It was just bad defense from the Packers, but we knew the Packers were a bad run defense. We knew there was going to be a big opportunity, potentially, for David Montgomery in this game if the offensive line could give him a little bit more room to run. And maybe that 57-yard play wasn't the perfect example, but he still finished with over 100 yards rushing on only 11 carries. And that's kind of what we come back to here. I mean, you take away that 57-yarder, and you've got 10 carries for 46 yards. That's still 4.6 yards per carry. His average on the whole was solid. But after that first run on the second play of the game, David Montgomery got 5 more carries in the first half. For that total of 11 carries in the game would tell you he had 5 carries in the second half. So 10 carries after that first play, 5 in each half. That was kind of it. You know, Cordell Patterson had 2 runs for 8 yards, and Trubisky had a couple of scrambles in there, and I think there was one of them was a read option play that went nowhere near the goal line. But, like, a complete abandonment of the run, which I guess you can kind of say, well, the Bears were down by 3 touchdowns in the second quarter. It's a little bit more justified, I guess, in that regard. But for me, if you find yourself down 27-3, why even abandon your game plan at that point? I mean, you never really got a full chance to try it. You know, I mean, obviously the offense wasn't working to perfection, but in large part just because of 2 turnovers, 2 specific plays, because otherwise they were somewhat able to move the ball in between, and Trubisky struggling in that a little bit, but especially if Trubisky is the one struggling because he's turned the ball over twice, why not go back to the running game at that point? I understand when you get down in the under two-minute offense and you want to pass the ball to keep things moving there, totally get it, although they handed it off twice on that drive in under 2 minutes. But, like, I look in that first quarter, second play of the game is David Montgomery for 57 yards, then Montgomery for -1, pass, field goal. Okay, sure, we can live with that. But then the next drive, it's Trubisky pass, Patterson run, penalty, Trubisky pass, Trubisky pick. That's that whole second drive after David Montgomery had a 57-yard run, does not touch the ball, at least not in the running game. And then you go to the third drive, Montgomery runs on the first play for 3 yards, then Trubisky pass, Trubisky fumble, touchdown Packers. And then all of a sudden there's 3 minutes left in the half, and I can kind of understand why he didn't get many more carries at that point. But then even the second half, first drive, no handoffs to David Montgomery. Second drive, no handoffs to David Montgomery, Mitch Trubisky interception. Third drive, pass, punt. I mean, the Bears did not give, they had 1 run in that whole third quarter, and it was a handoff to Cordell Patterson on the second play of the quarter. Excuse me. They got a second run to David Montgomery there with 1 minute left in the third quarter. That was his first carry of the second half with 1:07 left in the third quarter and only their second handoff of the third quarter. And again, I totally get that you're down 34-10 at that point and then 41-10, but then just run the ball, run your offense, do what you want to do as an offensive play caller, both Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor in that situation. Because Nagy came out of the bye week. We just heard him less than a week ago say, we need to establish the run. That was the one thing I went back through the bye week and took away from that, is that we got to get back to being able to run the ball and balance out our offense a little bit more. And that completely went out the window once the Bears' defense started failing. Even when your young quarterback was struggling and your running game was working, the Bears still abandoned it. And it's that same frustration, whether it's Bill Lazor calling the plays or Matt Nagy. This Bears offense just keeps making the same mistakes over and over again. And for me, it kind of all circles back to that's why Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and this coaching staff are all headed for the unemployment line. I think next week against the Detroit Lions might be a good litmus test to see just how bad things are going against a Lions team that just did what a lot of Bears fans want to see in Chicago, clean house of the GM and general manager. It'll be their first game in sort of the next transitional period for that team, and the Bears should be significantly better than that Lions team, but if they're not, then we'll have a really good sense of where this general manager and head coach are headed. So I hope you'll stick around with us for the rest of this season. The good and the bad, Locked On Bears is here for you. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Later this week, we'll try and do an All-22 film breakdown of this Bears game and try and learn a little bit more about how and where this defense struggled and what this offense was able to do with this new offensive line. Maybe this was the combination they should stick with moving forward. And then we'll have crossover Thursday with Matt Deary from Locked On Lions, kind of get the scoop on where they're headed as an organization. We may even take some time to look at potential GM and head coach candidates, but we might still wait a little bit for time for that, especially until we're not still 100% sure what the Bears' future is going to hold. But with change comes hope, eventually, potentially, coming into Chicago. And I think that's as good a reason as any to bear down.